you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Here's the man that you fear most in football staring you right in the face.
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Spiegs is out today. He will be back tomorrow. Jason Leisure is doing yeoman's work and double duty.
Yeah.
He was at Hallis Hall. Now he's here and he's helping me host the show. And one of the people that he saw at Hallis Hall was Mark Grody, who is here with a Bears hit. Two words to talk about everything that happened at Hallis Hall. Hey, Groats.
What's going on, guys? Man, Jason, you are hustling today. I thought I saw you out here today.
Yeah, man, I saw you today. I was wondering if you were going to be in studio today. Lawrence, did you hear in the press conference yesterday that Grody and Patrick Finley got into like a polite off, like who could let the other one go first in their questions? And Matt Eberflus said, oh, this is just like the debate last night.
Man, I know we're only at the Wednesday portion. Oh, go ahead.
No.
Oh.
It's like the debate last night. You guys are great.
See, it's very different from the war that you guys have in the press room, you and Groats, where you guys are desperate to one-up each other to get a question asked.
That's what we're doing? Mark, are we doing that?
I mean, I don't think beef? It's intentional. I mean, I walk out of there, like, sometimes, like, it happens to everybody. But I walk out of there, we're all friends after all. I mean, when it's all said and done. But there's some rough moments every once in a while. You know that,
okay,
Jason.
Okay, well, let me just take a moment. Can we? Do you mind if we stop the show? I want to reassure Mark here for a minute. It's not anything personal. It's just that I think my questions are more important than yours.
Well, I don't know if I'm able to agree with that, but yeah, I mean, that's fine.
It feels good to have said it now.
Bears. So listen, Groats, while Jason is here, I don't know if he's experienced a Bears hit, two words, with you. So I want to give you the floor. The floor is yours. What do we need to know?
Yeah, I'll take it. And a couple of things right off the bat. Tevin Jenkins and DeAndre Carter both returned to practice today. Jenkins dealing with that rib bruise. He was limited still. Same with Carter. Cole Kmet upgraded from limited to full because of the knee. Montez Sweat, limited ankle. Javon Dexter pops up on the injury report today, limited with a hip injury. So that's the injury situation. Also today, before we really get going on the meat of the report, we had a visit today from some folks from the NFLPA, some representatives, and we had kind of a little informal talk in the Bears media room. No recorders rolling, but everything was on the record, and just some of the things I have scribbled notes here that I was taking during it. And as for the league playing on a Wednesday this year, the response from one of the representatives about that is, why is that even surfacing? So nobody likes the extra games during the week, at least from the players' side of it.
Is that because of Christmas Day?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, the Wednesday. Plus, there was a Wednesday game this year, wasn't there? Like one of the opening day, one of the games. Wasn't there Wednesday night football this year already?
Friday.
Oh, was it Friday?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Are we allowed to ask questions during this, or do we just...
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Jump in whatever you want. It's totally interactive.
I don't
want
to break the
Jason.
Format, and this is your world, man.
Like, you've already had a Friday game in Brazil.
I'm not trampling you here.
Yeah. Brazil, yeah, that's an interesting thing, too.
On a really terrible field that players were slipping and sliding on, which I imagine the NFLPA was also curious about.
They did talk. They were as polite as they could be when it came to that, but saying, yeah, these are soccer stadiums. These are not made for the NFL, so they don't like it. They talked about, you know, some of the Western European locales such as London and Germany being better now than they used to be. So those are a couple of the things. Also, again, this is in no particular order. They have these report cards that come out every year for teams, and they said that, you know, going through the Bears facility now is great. Those were the words that came out of their mouth. And then one of the topics that we talked about earlier this year is the possibility of expanding OTAs and training camps being one big thing that goes throughout the entire summer. They say that they are far away from that, but they believe that more time, where you spread it out, that the recovery will be better and potentially reduce injury. But that modification, the way they're making it sound, probably is still pretty far off. So those are a few of the headlines that came from those guys today.
Okay. I mean, I think that that's a good thing. I think that the NFLPA should have a much heavier voice overall. I'm happy that Tevin Jenkins is back at practice, because I was concerned. Usually when a guy leaves a game and doesn't come back to the game, that's usually a bad sign for the following week. So I'm glad that he found his way at least back to the practice field.
Yeah, I thought that was important. I was a little bit surprised, actually, that he got back out there today. I figured that they would just let him heal, and that, you know, we all know the pain, at least from the player's perspective. They always tell you how painful it is to have a rib bruise or any kind of rib injury. I did talk to Tevin by his locker, and he said that, yeah, it's very painful. It's affecting his sleep. He's having to sleep on, you know, one side as opposed to the other. And he said he honestly at this point does not know if he's going to be able to play this week, but definitely an encouraging sign that he was back out there today. And I think if he doesn't play, I think it's going to be Matt Pryor over there and Nate Davis at right guard. But I'll tell you what, Matt Eberflus did not sound committal to that when I asked him that question. I think it was on, yesterday. Like, he sounded more optimistic that Tevin Jenkins was going to play than an actual plan if he doesn't play, as in there was no commitment necessarily to Nate Davis.
Groats,
or Matt Pryor.
Let's talk offense. Shane Waldron talked today. What do we need to know?
Well, and I understand that this topic might be getting a little bit old for people, because it was last week when the players essentially came out through Mercedes Lewis to say that they want Shane Waldron to coach them harder. Unfortunately, this is the first time that we get to ask Shane Waldron for his thoughts on that and coaching harder. And how is the reaction to that, Shane Waldron?
Yeah, I think the guys being open to being coached hard, they want to hear the corrections. They want to hear everything that's there. And I think for us as coaches, and it goes both ways too, when you hear constructive criticism or things that you can improve on, you know, it's the players having the ability to not put their guard up when they hear something that's a positive correction. We don't want to live in that negative state right there. And I think all those guys, you know, really starting with Mercedes, you know, really embracing that, talking through things. He had a great rep in practice last week that we were able to talk through, and something that he can think to do better. And I'm thinking, imagine this guy that just broke the all-time tight end games played record, and he's out there every week trying to learn and improve and get better. Good conversation, and it leads to a great rep on the goal line, led to a touchdown right there. So just a good example of, you know, that open communication, those guys doing a good job with it, and us working forward thinking on offense of improving every single week.
Okay. So I tend to agree, Jason. I don't know how you feel about this. I thought the idea of everyone communicating was a good thing. That's how I viewed it. I view it as it being better than what the alternative could have been, which is guys letting stuff fester and then it not getting resolved. this feels like a closer thing to getting it resolved than not.
I think what I like best is that it was player driven and not the other way around, not which we talked about this a couple days ago. I think Matt Nagy was going around soliciting suggestions at one point, and I think that that is probably not very productive. But if the players are kind of unified on here's a couple of issues we have, and then that's a positive. And I think, Lawrence, it's really good timing for them to do that because the season hasn't gotten off track yet. There's still time to course correct here at 2-2. You know, it's not the end of the world yet. If you wait and do this when you're 1-5, I mean, I don't know what good it's going to do at that point.
So yeah, I agree. You nipped this in the bud early. It's great when coaches and players can be critical of each other. So problem solved, and Waldron seems to be taking it well.
Okay, so what about the progression of Caleb Williams? What's Shane Waldron saying about that?
Yeah, you know, it's everybody wants the big plays, and there have been some of those going back to the preseason and in the regular season. A lot of conservative play from him last week, and one of the reasons for it was not just because they wanted to make things easier for Caleb Williams, but that's what the defense was giving them. They were giving them the underneath stuff, and you know, he made a point too. Waldron did, talking about how, you know, defenses are pretty smart these days. They are going to take things away from you, and you have to accept what they give you. So I asked Waldron about that because I've been hearing a lot more about this in defensive coordinators. You know, we always hear the offensive coordinators as the geniuses, but the defenses are starting to catch up. So I asked Waldron, is this like the best group of defensive coordinators? Is defensive coordinators, are they catching up to the offenses now?
Is the defensive coordinating in this league better than it's ever been because they're all trying to catch up with explosive offenses in this league?
Yeah, I think I think all the defensive coaches at different stages in the career have all done a great job, and knowing that there's ebbs and flows in the league, and I think right now when you look around some of the different defensive structures, I think just the multiplicity of every single defensive structure that you face, you know, there's not just a one defensive structure that you're going against. So each week you got to prepare for different shell structures, different single high structures. You know, more zone has trended around the league over the last couple of years, you know, overall, even in the lower third down windows. So from the quarterback lens there, the defenses are doing a good job of making a lot of things post-snap rather than pre-snap. And I think the more and more comfortable you get and as we're gelling on offense, you know, you're able to react quicker to those things post-snap. But, you know, like I said, every week's going to be a good challenge with, you know, how multiple fronts, coverages, and pressure packages are now tied together.
Shane Waldron is supposed to have all of these different backgrounds, all of these different ways he can run an offense. I think that he might have those things, but it's hard to pivot to a bunch of different things when you have a rookie quarterback, when you have a guy only in his fourth game at that point who is still trying to learn the basics of their offense.
All right, Groats, let's go defense here. The Bears have struggled a little bit in defending the run. How could they get better at it?
Yeah, I thought defensive coordinator Eric Washington was about as specific as he could get when it comes to this. You know, you've got incoming is a really good offensive line for Carolina. You've got Chuba Hubbard, who has had now back-to-back weeks with 100 yards. So you've got a tough customer and a tough offensive line coming this week. So, yeah, Eric Washington, how do you get better at stopping the run?
There's no such thing as an easy fix, but we certainly go back and put our hands on our point of reference is the fundamentals and the things that are required from one scheme to the next, and then from a fundamental standpoint. We just have to go back to that and make sure that we own our specific areas on the field. The premise of our run defense is single gap control. We're not a two gap system. That's a simplistic way of looking at it. Control your area. It's easier said than done, especially when you have a motivated blocker trying to move you off that specific area. We have to win against that situation, our gap, that person that's trying to block us. And I have a lot of confidence that when the dust is settled and we evaluate our full body of work, we'll be exactly where we need to be. There was a great snapshot of the best case scenario for our run defense in the last drive. the Rams ran an outside zone play, and I think we stopped that play for a negative gain. That is what we want to be on play one, play 51, and in that particular situation, we just need to be consistent, and we will.
Okay, I mean that makes sense. Like I like that he is. You know what I appreciate? I appreciate when there is specificity from coaches when they have come back from watching tape and they'll go, here's an example of what I'm talking about. And then you guys or us can go back and look to see what he's saying. Grody, I love that type of stuff.
Oh, no, I thought it was great. That's why that was the cut I chose, because he was very specific about it. And I'll tell you this, and Jason, I don't know how you feel about it, but yeah, they have struggled to stop the run recently. It's not something I'm worried about on the overall. I do trust, you know, based on last year and a lot of the same personnel being here this year relative to last year, it's definitely a concern. It's worth talking about. That's why I'm playing the audio. But ultimately, I think the Bears are going to be just fine against the run.
Mark, it is a little bit of a personnel issue, isn't it, though? I mean, if you're looking through the checklist of the rebuild, what hasn't totally been taken care of, defensive line would be one of those unchecked boxes.
That's true, but I do like the way Jervon Dexter has played. I feel like he is taking a step up. DeMarcus Walker is actually healthy this year. I sure wish Zach Pickens was in there. You got Montez Sweat as well. So I'm not as worried about the defensive line as I think I was early in the season with Daryl Taylor as well. Sometimes they line up him and Montez Sweat on the same side, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But that's another area of this team that I'm not as worried about as I was coming into the year, especially since considering some of the pressure that they've gotten.
We don't have to wait. Let's hear from the Bears' best defensive player.
Let's go to Montez Sweat and, put simply, why the Bears' defense is good.
I think the best part about this defense is anybody on the defense to have a big game at any moment. It's kind of like give or take on who's going to show out on Sunday. And, it's like a surprise.
Who's the surprise this week?
This past week? Well, I mean, obviously you've seen Brisk jump out on tape a lot, man. I feel like they kind of snubbed him on the player of the week type of deal, man. He had a lot of stats, a couple tackles, and a pick, and a pick callback. You're going to see who it is this upcoming week.
How good is the Carolina offensive line? And what makes them good, I should say?
They're actually very good. They're well paid. They invested a lot into the offensive line this past offseason. They're physical. They have a vet and Moten at the tackle spot. So they're pretty good.
What do you like about when Daryl Taylor's on the same side as you?
He likes getting after the QB, man. He has an arsenal of pass rush moves, and also gives a different look for the offensive line. What are they doing? Are they about to run the game? Are they about to run straight?
You're your defensive coordinator, Eric Washington, kind of smiled when he thought about you two on the same side, but he didn't want to give too much away about it. Is that kind of the feeling? Like this is a nice little weapon that you guys have going on?
Yes, something that we can bring out every now and again. It's not an every down thing, and it's not something that we call a lot. But when we bring that front out, we obviously want some production out of it, and that's what we plan on doing.
That's Montez.
So that's Montez.
We have created a show inside of the show.
Oh, yeah, I figured it out right away. Yeah, I love it. And by the way, I should have said up front, Mark, especially to you, happy Tez Thursday.
Yeah.
As it's known in Lake Forest. I thought when I woke up today, poured myself a cup of coffee, looking out the window, I thought this is going to be a really good Tez Thursday.
I'm sorry this wasn't the funniest episode. Yeah, it was a little bit more serious.
Hey, every now and again, you have to have a very special That's Montez. Like, it doesn't happen every week, but every quarter or so, you want to have a very special That's Montez.
Feel good. Yeah.
Feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taking the moment, big girl.
Also, the perfect kooky neighbor, kooky friend, kooky cousin, whoever character on that show, That's Tez, would be Daryl Taylor. Daryl Taylor fits
man.
It perfectly. Like, I just kind of had this stream of consciousness while I was listening to Tez Thursday there, which is a whole thing we've had to figure out with the Bears on when Montez is going to talk so that we can get him consistently. That's how Tez Thursday came about. Daryl Taylor, after his first game, He's very energetic, very excitable personality, very fun. He's talking to the group of reporters during the week in House Hall after the opener, Grody, And someone asked him some question like, "What did you learn? What have you learned about your new team?" I don't like these questions, but what did you learn about your new team in that loss? And he goes, "I learned that they're resilient as bleep." Oh, sorry. Sorry about the language. But anyway, yeah, they're resilient as bleep.
Well, and I'll add to that, today in the locker room, right before we did finally get to talk to Montez Sweat, he and Daryl Taylor were making a TikTok video. They were right by the lockers, not with the help of Bears social media coordinators, but they were doing some hilarious and laughing their asses off before we got to talk to Montez.
That's Montez.
That's Montez.
You know what? I actually think that's a really perfect place to kind of end things here. Groats, as always, you are the man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye, guys. Bears.
Enjoy Tez Thursday.
Tez Thursday is a whole damn thing. Shane, did you ever think that we would get like casting help from the people who cover the Bears to add to the show? Now we've got Daryl with a house next door. Like, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, the plots that we've been stuck with so far are just Tez and Granny.
Right.
That's it. I only have Tez and Granny to work with when I'm writing episodes. Me and Danny spend a lot of time on Wednesdays preparing for Tez Thursdays to write the episodes, and now we can include Daryl Taylor.
Yes!
Yeah, it feels great. We're going to have a great one lined up for next week, I'll tell you that.
I could do this. I could help you with some storyboards and characters.
Yeah, I got to tell
you. We need to bring in Tony Gill, too. Tony Gill could be a good consultant on this.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the focus groups, they've grown weary of the grandma story.
They
so
have.
I think to have more characters expanded in the That's Montez universe, I think is only good.
Yep.
Okay. So
that's Montez.
This week on That's Montez, there was no repercussions when Tez went over the property line last week when he was cutting the lawn. But this week, he woke up on Tez Thursday and there was no milk left in an empty carton in the fridge. Tez did not have his favorite cereal this morning on this episode of That's Montez. But don't worry, he called his friend Daryl, and Daryl brought him some milk this week on That's Montez.
That's what we're here for.
What is that? That's amazing.
It's our TV show. We've been doing that for a while.
It's so good. I've never heard it. I love it.
It precludes Everybody Hates Chris on WCIU every week, Thursday night.
Is it animated or is it live action?
No, it's live action.
It's live action, three-camera show. You know,
That's Montez was filmed before a live studio audience.
Thank you, Tanny. Yeah. Of course it was.
We love that show here.
We love that show for sure. Anytime that we can add to it, we're all about it. Listen, we need to take a break. I want to have a fairly serious, but it could also be a little goofy conversation with you about Caleb Williams. And specifically about, like, you've had to go through the new quarterback thing three times here with the Bears.
And elsewhere.
And that's right. You had to do it in Miami as well. I want to talk about this because you're the perfect guy to discuss it with. We will do that next. That's Jason Leisure. He's sitting in for Spiegs. This is Spiegel and Holmes. We're with you until 6 on the score. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You know, history's a history. Like, I'm kind of done talking about it. Like, you go back so much all the time, and that those days are over. So we're bringing players in here that want to really just change everything up and do things a different way. Obviously, we love our history here. But it hasn't been smooth recently, and it's time to change. So I feel like we got to start going back all the time.
Ryan Poles talking about the quarterback situation and where the Bears have been. And look, we're gonna test ourselves over this next half hour to discussing this, because I knew that you were going to be hosting the show, and Jason Leisure is here. Speaks is off today. He will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I was out this morning for a walk in Hyde Park. I was walking down 53rd Street. It's a chamber of commerce day today.
That's awesome.
It's absolutely gorgeous. Awesome. And the forecast for like the next 10 days is pretty much the same.
At a time when, by the way, once it hits October here, if you get 55 and sunny, you're happy.
Usually, I mean, wasn't it last year the first snowfall was Halloween?
I've seen snow in October.
Yeah. I think it was
in May.
And it was substantial.
Yeah.
Sometimes it snows in April.
I mean, you take 55 and sunny this time of year is my point. And
for
you're
sure.
You're getting way better than that.
You're getting beyond that. Yeah. So I wanted to get a little bit of sunshine in before I walked into the studio. And knowing that you were going to be here and the conversations that we've had about quarterback, I brought it up in the group chat that we should discuss this. You've dealt with the idea of quarterbacks being brought in and what the level of expectation is and how you go from A to B to hopefully to D to E to F. You've seen this with Mitch Trubisky. You've seen this with Justin Fields, and now you're experiencing it with Caleb Williams. You also saw it when you were covering the Dolphins. I want to try and explore this with the entire group, the whole show, plus the mob on this. The idea of how this works for everyone. Mm-hmm. What it's like for the organization. What it's like for teammates. What it's like for Caleb himself. What it's like for those of us that talk about this for a living. What it's like for the people who are asking the questions that are representing the fans. And what it's like for the fans themselves to go through these cycles of, did we get the quarterback right? And wondering week to week if you're going to get the answer to that question.
It's brutal here. I think it is unique here. And I grew up here, so I totally understand it. I think we went through some of this just last season with Tyson Bagent playing, where there's just this whiplash from week to week of, Justin's the guy. Oh, no, Tyson Bagent's the guy. Oh, I don't like Tyson Bagent. Oh, we didn't need to trade Justin. Oh, keep Justin, trade the draft. Every week, it is so the reaction is so extreme. And there's a reason for that. It's because of what you've been through. It's because you're so desperate for one of these guys to finally be the guy. And I remember going up last year to do a story on Jordan Love and talking to one of the Green Bay beat writers and asking him, because if you remember, if you're listening, maybe you're not versed on all of Jordan Love's season from last year. It was pretty bad that first half, other than when he came in here and looked awesome. Week one, day
one. Then
he
went on a stretch where he had 22 touchdowns and one interception.
At the end, the second half of the season, he was excellent. And I remember asking one of their beat writers, what was the temperature in Green Bay when things were not going well for Jordan Love? How did they react? Because I'm curious about that reaction versus the way quarterbacks are reacted to here. And he said there was a lot of patience. There was a lot of confidence that this guy was going to be good because they'd seen it happen before. They'd seen it with Rodgers. They'd seen it with Favre. There wasn't all of this history of building up your hopes only to have them cut down pretty fast and on to the next guy. There was much more patience up there for that in the fan base, I think, than there would have been here. And we're kind of going through a little bit of that right now, where Caleb Williams in a vacuum as a rookie is off to an okay start. He's probably about on track toward he's growing. It's been incremental growth. I think a lot of us, including the reporters, including me, and including his teammates, and including Caleb Williams himself, who has had a Tiger Woods-like upbringing in terms of his immersion in his sport since age 9, expected him to be a lot better, a lot faster. We're already in week five, and we can already say, oh, I thought this would be coming along faster. You don't normally say that about any rookie quarterback.
I think that's kind of the interesting part of all of this. And I think that it led to some of the tribalism that ended up happening last year, whether we're talking about Fields versus Bagent, Fields plus picks versus Caleb, where people want it so badly. They want it so badly that you're trying to figure out if you're seeing it week to week. I've been trying to figure out if that's healthy for any of us.
No. Oh, gosh, no. Do you have your answer yet? Because it's no.
Okay. Why okay. do you say it's no?
Oh, no, it's ridiculous because these guys need time. And this, and you know, okay, we all know it's just sports. We all know it's just a TV show that we watch on Sundays. But everybody has so much invested emotionally and in their time with the Bears. It means a lot when things are – I've been trying to explain this to my kids because my kids are young enough that they've never experienced this, that if the Bears get good, you guys don't even know what that's going to be like here. It's going to be like every – weekend is a party.
It's Christmas.
We've seen it happen a couple times in our lives. I mean, you and me.
Yeah.
Not in a while, but it takes over. And you just to ride the highs and lows so turbulently is probably not good for anybody. It's tough that you can't sit here and say outright, Caleb Williams is off to a decent start. He's kind of on the right path. Let's see where it goes. Now, part of that, it's a unique situation because the rest of the team is built to win now. So there's a really interesting clash of perspectives when you have a team that has otherwise been set up to win now and a rookie quarterback who's going to need a little time.
One of the things that I kind of felt was important in the draft process, the pre-draft process, is us talking about it was trying to be fair to Caleb. Because the idea of instant stardom, it's rare for rookie quarterbacks. And I know people saw it with CJ Stroud. They saw it and they were like, okay, this is the guy that has the better draft profile than the guy that I just saw become a star after week two of the season last year.
Also, you know who else said that? Caleb.
Caleb said that. I am not surprised by that, you know, like, so I wanted to be fair to him and be like, he's gonna flip. I say this all the time. Chris Carter said this to me and I'm glad he said it to me. And it puts everything into perspective. I'll tell you the story. Cause I don't think I've told you the story. I'm doing the show from the Hall of Fame when Brian Urlacher got inducted. So we're in one of the hotel lobbies. So everyone's like walking by, like luminaries of the game. BMAC, Brendan McCaffrey, who works for a Sirius NFL radio now, he used to be the producer here. We're in a break, and we're going over Johnny Manziel's line as he's playing in the CFL. And that night, he threw like four interceptions or something ridiculous. And I was like, man, like this is not good. Chris Carter heard us talking as he was walking by, and he just looked over and he went, football is hard. And he just kept walking. And that's the part where I want people to understand that. But that has a shelf life too, because I think that a lot of us looked at Justin and go, that situation, football is hard. That situation wasn't great. And things still weren't moving in the right direction. So you start asking the questions of, when do you know? When do you cut bait? When are you supposed to say, no, you've made the decision? For example, the situation in Carolina. That seems extreme. And it seems extremely too early to make a choice like that. Yet, here we are. Now, here's the thing. There's another part to this discussion that I want to add. And it has to do with comparison. Because there was an award given out today for another rookie quarterback. And I think that it both helps and hurts inside of this discussion. I'll explain what I mean. We will discuss it further. You want to text us with your thoughts on it? You want to hit us up inside the Twitch stream? Feel free. It's Spiegel and Holmes. Jason Leisure sitting in for Speaks here on The Score.
Third and goal from the 10. 8:40 to go, fourth quarter. Daniels gives some directions to McCaffrey, who's out to the right. Two wide receivers to the left. Here's the snap. Arizona breaks four. Plenty of time for Jaden. Throws over to the middle, into the end zone. That is caught! Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington!
Jaden Daniels was named Offensive Rookie of the Month. He is having a really good run at quarterback for the Washington Commanders. If you're interested in the numbers, he's thrown for almost 900 yards. He's completed 82% of his passes, which is ridiculous. Three touchdowns. Passing, four rushing touchdowns for him, and he's only thrown one interception. It has been a really good start for Jaden Daniels. If you're wondering, well, wait, Lawrence, what about Caleb's numbers? Caleb's numbers aren't bad, and that's the part of this that always will end up being something that steals a little bit of joy. 62% of his passes for a rookie to be able to do that in his four games in the NFL, I think is pretty good. 787 yards, three touchdown passes, four interceptions, one fumble lost for Caleb Williams. So Jason Leisure's here. He's in studio with me today. Spiegs is off. Dave Wanstead is here. I see him. He is in the producer's studio as we speak.
He gave me a thumbs up.
Perfect. Yeah. He's going to join us at 5 o'clock, and we're going to talk football with him. When we're talking about the pressure that an organization, the fan base, the players, the teammates, the quarterback himself face when you're talking about growing a quarterback and figuring out if you have the right one, there's also the added pressure of comparison where you look at Jaden Daniels as the number two pick in the draft, and there were some people who liked Caleb, who liked Jaden better than Caleb. I'm someone I've been a huge fan of Jaden Daniels for a long time, and I figured he might have success early on. I think it's probably too early for a victory lap on that.
Four games?
Yeah. I don't, as much as I like Jaden Daniels, I don't like that people are already in the, well, this proves that it wasn't the right pick, because I think that what Washington is doing offensively is so perfect for what Jaden Daniels did. And I think that they're adding a little bit at a time. And if you look at his coordinator and the history of Cliff Kingsbury in the NFL, eventually those offenses get slowed down. They're running a lot of stuff that's horizontal right now. They're hitting on the big verticals, which is what you want to see Caleb Williams do. But that's the added part of the pressure of trying to get it right.
The way it was explained to me before the draft by somebody that would be scouting all of these prospects is that Jaden Daniels had the same upside as Caleb Williams. So their ceilings are pretty equal. Caleb Williams had the higher floor. There was less risk and same upside with Caleb Williams.
That's fair. So, but here's the issue though. If you're a Bears fan that's in your car right now, or you're at your desk right now, and you hear Jason Leisure, who covers the Bears, say that, that person goes, wait a damn minute. What I heard in the draft process, what I read in the draft process, not from you, was generational talent. You mean to tell me that there was another quarterback that had generational talent? And no one talked about him that way?
Well, I think it was a really good draft class for quarterbacks. And there's always, Lawrence, since you brought up C.J. Stroud, this is always an interesting conversation. And Dave would probably have an interesting thought on this. There's the prospect, and then there's the pro. Mm. So the ratings of who these guys are as prospects could be different than the ratings of them as pros. C.J. Stroud, the pro quarterback, way better than C.J. Stroud, the draft prospect. And it's night and day. It's a credit to the coaching in Houston and his work that he's put in to adapt to the NFL. I think in the case of this past draft class, you have a lot of guys that looked like they could be good pro quarterbacks. Their prospects, the evaluation of them as prospects appeared to point toward them being good pros. We'll see. I mean, we don't know about any of these guys yet after a month. We don't even know a thing about J.J. McCarthy since he's out for the year. But I think with Jaden Daniels, it's a hot start, but there's so much left in the season. And I think C.J. Stroud's rookie season, I mean, that was an amazing rookie season.
It's an outlier.
What was the other one? Yeah, like who else comes to mind that has done that? There haven't been a lot of guys like that.
I think Kyle... Kyler Murray had a really good season, and this is how far down the road that we've gotten. If you look at Kyler Murray's season, and I said about Caleb, if he has a Kyler Murray-esque rookie season, then you had a really great season, and you should be optimistic.
And you probably won a lot, given what else is around him.
And there were a lot of people that were like, no, that's not good enough. And I'm like, that is for a franchise that has not been rich in rookie quarterbacks, to turn your nose up at, and let me give you the Kyler Murray numbers from his rookie year, to turn your nose up at completing 64% of the passes, 3,700 passing yards, to go along with all the stuff that he did rushing, 309 rushing yards, for a quarterback to throw 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, to look at Caleb and go, that's not good enough. He won Offensive Rookie of the Year, by the way, with that. I was like, wow, what is it that you expect? And the 37-22, that would be a top three passing season in Bears history.
Well, yeah.
And so like whenever I brought it up and people kind of shouted me down, I was like, wow. Like, we have already jumped to here?
Part of it is Caleb would have shouted you down. This is another thing, and I like this about him. This doesn't end up playing well when you don't live up to this, but Caleb Williams from before the draft and every time since has elevated the expectations. Every time you put a microphone in front of that guy, Lawrence, and you ask him about the expectations, he says, yeah, okay. I want to do better than C.J. Stroud.
I really like that about him, though.
Why shouldn't I think I'm going to be? I love it about him, whether he lives up to that or not. I like the honesty. I like the realness of that. And not saying he has never once, Caleb Williams has never once said, give me time. You know, hey, guys, rein it in a little bit. Like, you know, tamper your expectations a little bit. He straight up said on the Pivot before the draft, the Pivot podcast, that he intended to have a better rookie season than C.J. Stroud. So his expectations would be so high that he would be frustrated with your comp of Kyler Murray. But I think the C.J. Stroud rookie season has skewed people's expectations in the same way that Tom Brady playing to 45 and playing well skewed people's expectations for quarterbacks at that end of the spectrum. Oh, now we think everybody's going to do that. So then we're shocked when Drew Brees can't
walks
do it anymore.
Away.
We're shocked when Peyton Manning doesn't have it anymore.
We're shocked when Aaron
right
Rodgers, yes.
Right now, when Aaron Rodgers starts to decline in his late 30s, like, that's shocking somehow.
Early 40s.
Whatever it was, I'm sorry. Matt Stafford declining, like, we're shocked that this happens because we thought, oh, well, that's the new normal. Every quarterback's going to play well into their 40s. Oh, that's the new normal. Every, you know, all of these top draft picks can play like C.J. Stroud did last year. No, it's not normal.
It's not normal at all.
Caleb Williams' rookie season right now, pretty normal, actually, for a good first-round quarterback.
And I think that's what I wanted people to understand, that in trying to find the growth and all of the cool stuff, people were promised jetpacks, man, and they want their jetpacks, and I get it.
I did, too. I thought it'd be going better than this. I thought he would be plug-and-play 300 yards day one.
And I got to tell you, as someone who probably preferred Jaden to Caleb, the more I watch Caleb, the more I go, this guy's got something, and he's starting to figure stuff out. And when he does figure it out, it's going to be a problem for the league, I think. We could ask Dave Wanstead about that. He is going to be – well, he is here, but he's going to be in here in studio with us. Our weekly chat with Dave Wanstead is next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Score.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.